another exciting episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm your host, Burl Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer. And we've got so many people in the studio today that I'm going to do an audible, calling an audible, since we have David Fulcher here. We're going to talk in football terms. But we also have Jim Mooring, the mayor of the Banks, actually the proprietor of the Holy Grail. Would you serve as co-host today? Can you do that?
I can do that.
All right.
But it kind of makes me feel like Joe Burrow, and then all of a sudden it's Jake Browning. Your usual co-hosts are, pretty...
We're going to the bench. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, you went way deep in
the bench. Bringing the subs.
Yeah. That's right. And we have the aforementioned David Fulcher, and then we have Jeanette Altano. What ties this group together, including yours truly? It is we are all about to don ourselves with pink for October, all involved with Men Wear Pink Cincinnati, which is the American Cancer Society's one of many programs to raise awareness and funds for breast cancer research. Jeanette has been, she launched this esteemed group of men. How many years ago?
2016. This will be our 10th year.
Wow.
And you put this group together. David Fulcher, former Bengals great, member of the 1989 Super Bowl team, has been an ambassador for you since the beginning
Yeah.
Well, let's start with Mr. Fulcher here. Before we get into Paint the Grail Pink, as Jimmy Moe alluded to, we had some big news come out of Paycor Stadium, which we're overlooking right now, last Sunday, with QB1 going down. He's going to be out at least 3 months. So, David, I know you do a lot of analysis. What we're actually going to catch up with you. Like, whatever happened to David Fulcher? What's David Fulcher been up to since he hung up the cleats? But first off, how about your assessment? What are we looking at here? And let me pose the question to you this way. I've noticed that we've had two extremes. People who have said, you know, this is not a problem. Jake Browning's a good quarterback. It's really all about the receivers. You know, Terry Bradshaw wasn't the greatest quarterback ever, but he had great receivers with Lynn Swann and that cohort. And others who are like throwing themselves on the ground and crying because they say the season's over. How should we really be looking at this situation?
Well, you know, it all comes down to the 53-man roster. You know, if you're on that roster, you belong there. So Joe Burrow has a backup quarterback, and that backup quarterback is there to assist him when need be. Joe comes to the sideline, when they sit on the bench, that backup quarterback is there with Joe reading the teleprompter or the iPad of things that went bad. So it makes it tough because everybody's expecting, you know, Joe Burrow, the quarterback, to throw for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you got the backup quarterback in, and he proved a little bit about where he was a year ago when Joe went down. The guy could play. Is he Joe Burrow? No, he's not Joe Burrow, but he's a quarterback, and his job is to get the ball to the receivers and manage the offense and move it down the field. I think that could happen. I really do. I don't know if we're going to get 40, 50 points a game. I don't know if we're going to get 5 touchdowns a game.
Do we need that many points with the defense this year?
If defense is playing their game and doing what they're supposed to do, we shouldn't have a problem. But that's all said and done until it happens. When I was playing, I know Dick LeBeau used to tell us, or we set goals before the season started. Chalkboards up. First thing up there is points. How many points will we want to give up a game? Ours was 16 and a half. You give up 16 points a game with this offense, you should go undefeated or close enough to go to playoffs. And it hasn't been that way in the last couple of years. You know, our defense is going up and down. The defensive coordinator got fired. He goes to Indy. I don't know if he should have been fired because players make plays. Players don't make plays. If he puts me in the position to make a play and I don't do my job, it's not the defensive coordinator's fault. It's David Fulcher's job. My problem. So can this defense make plays? We've seen it. We've seen in the last 2 weeks that they can make plays. They played pretty well against Cleveland. to the point where we probably should have lost a game. We missed those three field goals. Then they come in here against a very better team than in Cleveland's offense and you give up a lot of points, but we match stroke for stroke. We score, they score. We score, they score. And I think Zach Taylor, and I don't want to put words in Dak's mouth, but he wants to put 50 points on the board. He wants Joe to throw for 500 yards and five touchdowns. But you got to stop people on the other side of the ball. And I think this football team has a chance. I think Jake Browning is going to, I won't say surprise people because we know what he's got. But I think he's a good enough quarterback to keep it within reaches of winning the game. He might throw in two interceptions. He did that last week. But he had a drive at the end of the game that gave us an opportunity to win the game. And if he could keep us close and the defense don't give up 50 points, we got a chance.
All right. Well, you were one of the best defensive players on the Bengals historically. Three times Pro Bowl selected. Grade the Bengals defense after 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Not to put them down. I think they're in that C average.
C, okay.
C to C minus average.
C minus.
Yeah, well, you know.
Needs improvement.
Well, the minus comes from against Cleveland. I thought they were probably a good C. There was a little minus in this one because, you know, third down, they couldn't get off the field. You know, third and seven, third and eight, they couldn't get off the field. And then there was a lot of, for Jacksonville, there were a lot of first down plays that were, they got 8-9 yards. Second and one, you can't beat that. You cannot beat second and one week in and week out. And they did all that in this game. They gave up 500 yards against Jacksonville and still won the game. Now, if I'm a defensive coordinator or head coach and I go in the locker room and you gave up 500 yards, I am ticked off.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
But we won. Against Cleveland, it was ugly, but we won. Can you imagine if they get it together? And now they got to do it without Joe. So both sides of the ball has got to get it together. And who knows what that next football game is going to look like.
All right. Well, that wraps up in another exciting edition of Sports Talk here. So let's shift back to Men Wear Pink. How were you recruited? We're going to stick with the football terminology.
How was I recruited?
Yes, how were you recruited by Men Wear Pink?
Well, if this person was part of the NFL, she'd probably won 10 Super Bowls by now. Recruiting, this was many years ago in Minnesota. I was down there for the taste of NFL, and I was by myself. It was me and my wife and our chef, will not mention that name. The chef was supposed to be there, but somehow he wasn't there. And I'm just sitting at this table amongst 31 other NFL guys who were representing their city, their team, on the Kick for Hunger. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just by myself, and they never mentioned Cincinnati, and they were applauding all these other teams. And I was about to get up. I was about to get up and walk out of that room. And I turned and looked over at the door and the window, and there was this lady standing in the door. And she was going like this, looking around, talking about this lady sitting next to me, Jeanette. And then all of a sudden, she walked through the door, opened up the door, came, sat down next to me, and she says, "Hi, I'm Jeanette." I said, I think I know about you. I've heard of you. Don't say nothing. Just take this envelope and take it up to the front. And I'm like, what the heck's in this envelope? She said, don't worry about it. I went up there.
Sounds like a mafia movie.
Let me tell you.
Hey, Vito.
I walked up there and I gave the envelope and I came and sat back down. And the guy who was running it, can't remember his name, opened up the envelope. And when he opened up the envelope, I could see it looked like a check. All of a sudden, everything came out of his mouth, Cincinnati. Hey, David Fools are here from Cincinnati and blah, blah, blah. And boy, we thank the Cincinnati for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the heck did she just do? And then she said, don't worry about it. It's all covered. And that was how I got involved with her. And then when she said to me about you're an ambassador without even being an ambassador, everybody knows who you are. Here's what I would like for you to do. We're going to start doing something or blah, blah, blah. We're doing this. And I told her, you don't have to explain it to me. Just tell me where I need to go. And that's how I got involved with breast cancer and Real Men Wear Pink.
I don't think I heard that story. So that was Taste of the NFL.
It was the Taste of it a long time ago. All right. We were raising money.
All right.
And when she said,
and she saw your fundraising powers and decided she needed to bring you on for Men Wear Pink.
Well, I think it's the whole So Cincinnati thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, David had dedicated a lot of years. David, before you, was Dave Lapham, who was also a Real Men Wear Pink leader for many years.
Anthony was part of some things.
Marvin was our head coach and represented our team on this national initiative. It was one of the events that took place at the Super Bowl every year. And I had gotten the information that David was there alone. And Cincinnati doesn't do that. We don't have people representing us sitting in a room at a Super Bowl amongst your competitors and colleagues and have you hanging out there alone. So with about, I don't know, maybe 12 hours notice, Trish Rayner and I from the Free Store Food Bank jumped on a plane, came up. I slid David the envelope, and we ended up being the Comeback City of the Year.
Comeback City of the Year.
And we set a record the next year.
We did.
And it was a great partnership, and it was just an example of David's leadership across the community. Yeah. He sat there alone. We can all say, you know, yes, we did this great event in Cincinnati, but he sat there alone. And it was an example of his leadership then and the many other things that he's done in this community to make all of our lives better. And when Real Men Wear Pink started, I went to he and his wife, Judy, who's an amazing partner in all of this work, and said, you know, I need people who will give selflessly to advocate for neighbors we don't know. I mean, a lot of times we have people in our own lives who've been impacted by cancer. But a lot of what makes Real Men Wear Pink so special is that we advocate on behalf of neighbors we haven't even met yet.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful experiences, like when we would be at the Super Bowl and do the Taste of NFL events and kick hunger and all of that, is that you hear from people that you don't know. And you hear compelling stories, and it fuels that fire within you to raise more money to address food insecurity. Or in our case, to raise awareness around the importance of early detection and early treatment, and raise funds to help navigate, you know, the journey for cancer warriors, or to, so incredibly important right now, is fueling research.
Yeah.
With all the federal cuts and policy changes that there have been, there's not as much money dedicated to research anymore. And we have labs who might be 8 years into a 10-year study that all of that knowledge is going to be lost. And that's either protocols or medications or devices even that are so close to coming to market and so close to getting us to a world without cancer that are at risk. And so right now, I think what's really fueling our team is this year, while we're fighting for all of these neighbors that we know or neighbors that we don't know who are in this struggle, is also at the same time to look down, stick with the football analogy, the little tiny bit I know, is to look down the field and say, okay, what's our real goal here? And it's to eradicate cancer. And so I think our message this year is as much as, you know, get your screenings, go get the screenings that you need, call somebody you love and ask them to get their screenings. And then to, you know, support these men who wear pink for September and October now, and donate towards helping us continue to fuel research and change outcomes.
And the one thing to add to that is it all stays here.
Right.
Stays right here in Cincinnati. So that's where it makes, to me, if I feel important on helping people that are associated with it, that have it, because it's right here in our backyard. So when I go out, I'm not representing another state. I'm representing Ohio and Cincinnati, because I'm right here in Cincinnati. So when she said, are you on board? I was just like, what seat do you want me to sit on? It doesn't matter. I'm in.
And sticking again with the football analogy, we've been number one in the country several years. And that's beating cities like Atlanta, where we're headquartered.
And when you say number one, you're talking about fundraising. Right. Yeah, punching above our weight. Now we're switching to boxing analogies. But
I'm really lost. But in total fundraising. And that's with a team of 30 men every year. The most, our limit is 30 for our team. And some cities will have 200 and be in big cities. And the 30 men who lead this work in Cincinnati raise more funds. And I would argue every dollar raised is a conversation that took place.
That's it.
And so it's not just raising funds, it's raising awareness and helping people remember how valued they are. We want them in the stands at football games. We want them listening to your podcast, and we want them eating in your restaurants. And they can get there by getting those screenings and having the early detection and successful treatments.
So when I joined the group, I looked at the roster and I felt like David Fulcher, and I'm reading all these, you know, names of people. I'm like, what can I possibly offer? I was, you know, honored to be included. I feel like, you know, my role at the Enquirer has had a nice long history of being involved with Men Wear Pink. Most notably, John Fay, longtime Cincinnati Reds beat writer, who was an ambassador. His wife actually was a cancer survivor until she wasn't. And so a very poignant story for John Fay's involvement. And then, what, a year later, he died. And so I feel like it's the least I can do, not just for the Enquirer, but to continue the work that John Fay did. And I'm just thrilled to be honored, humbled to be part of it. But back to feeling like I had imposter syndrome, I'm like, what can I possibly do? I mean, David Fulcher can go to an event and sign footballs and throw them to the crowd, and, you know, bags of cash are coming back the other way, right? What can I do? And so that's where Jim Mooring came into the picture. I was like, all right, if I'm going to be fundraising, I got to, like, what is my background? What can I actually do? And over the years, I've been involved with different events, and I thought, you know what? Let's do a fun event. Let's do something on the lower end of the scale. Like, there's enough of these, you know, $1,000 dinner ticket events in town. Let's do something a little lower level of entry, a little more fun. And I went to Jim Mooring, the proprietor of the Holy Grail, the mayor of the Banks. And I floated this idea out, and I thought, and I was like, and look, you won't hurt my feelings if you say no. I know this is a big ask, but can you host an event? And he was like, done. We're doing this. So because we all have a why. Jeanette, when she pulls the ambassadors together, we all share our why stories. And many of us have very personal connections to breast cancer. And every year, my list of whys keeps growing. That's the sad part. And that was one year where I had another why, and it was someone close to Jim, and Jim was all in. Can you believe this is the third year we're doing it?
No, it seems like just yesterday, literally. You know, we're obviously humbled, and outside of the fundraising aspect of this, and I think it's to your point, Jeanette, it is amazing every year around this event. Number one, to talk about the event. Bronson Arroyo, once again, is going to be down there playing some music with us, which is just fantastic that he gives up his time. It will be October 2nd. We will ask for a donation at the door. Every dollar that in sales that day goes back to the Real Men Wear Pink. There'll be some great auction items, etc., going on down there. But you know, our staff, we now have 80 people down there, and it is amazing to watch them get involved in this now. They are obviously younger than I, and their whys have changed drastically over the last couple of years to listen to them, and it opens our eyes to things that are going on around them that, quite honestly, when I was that age, I didn't have a care in the world about. And to watch them get more and more involved is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
That's a big part of it. It's not when I first signed up and, you know, you pick your goal. And I started with a modest goal of dollars to raise. And I thought, OK, I got to like focus on raising some money for this cause, which is important to me. But really, I learned really quickly that it's about the conversations that you start when you just start wearing pink. Especially me. I usually dress like it's a funeral every day. I like dark colors. And then I, you know, so if you look in my closet, it's hilarious. So you got all these dark shirts and dark sport coats and things like that. And then there's this one section of the closet that's all pink. And so it's an opportunity to have the conversations that, frankly, most men aren't comfortable talking to women about women's health issues. And even though breast cancer can affect men, it's one of the most, it's one of the leading causes of death for women, all these forms of cancer and breast cancer included. And so I call it like the superpower. Once you put that pink on, it totally takes that awkwardness out of the equation. And you can have conversations with people about, you know, the importance of early screening and do you have a doctor and do you know where to get a mammogram? And those are the conversations that were unexpected to me, where people came up to me, even if I didn't talk to them. They said, you know what? I saw your post on Facebook and I decided to finally get a mammogram. And that's better than
huge
than, you know, $1,000 check, right? That's just that one personal connection you have to people. And that's an interesting thing about that, you know, when we gather people together at the Holy Grail for Paint the Grail Pink, those conversations are happening all over the room.
Yeah.
And it's just such a multiplier.
Well, and across the whole city, right? For the months of September and October, you're all superheroes, all 30 of you. You're all busy. You all have very demanding careers. A large number of you volunteer annually for other initiatives. And then for the months of September and October, you're willing to put on pink, again, advocating on behalf of individuals you may not even know and creating those conversations. Some of you over now with 10 years behind us, I'll say the most powerful moments for me aren't November 2nd or 3rd when we announce the total for our campaign or nationally. Yes, that's incredibly important. But what's really special is when one of you call me, you know, with 30 men out there having these conversations, there's a lot of follow-up tasks I'm assigned by all of you. But somebody comes up to you while you're out having dinner with your wives, or you're at a meeting, or you're dropping off. One of our men was dropping off his child at preschool, and a teacher had been diagnosed, had found out a diagnosis the night before. She had no idea where to go. But Dan, within minutes, was able to say, we've got you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to connect you with somebody, and we're going to help you navigate through this situation. And so, again, back to the whole city of Cincinnati, nobody's left alone. We do this together. We lift each other up. We're there for one another. We've had people call us after events or after podcasts or being on John John's show and say, I haven't had a screening in 10 years. And by the way, 2 years ago, I felt a lump. I wonder if I should maybe get that checked out. And we get them in, expedite them into an appointment. I've had real men wear pink go with patients who are uncomfortable going and just say, we've got this. We're going to sit right here while you go in for this screening and we're going to take care of whatever this is. It's just that superpower that you all have, that 30 of you go out every day in this community, 365 days a year, but for 2 months of the time that you wear pink and you make yourself available to everyone in this city that needs you is an amazing gift to this community.
You know, to add to what she says is, I feel like if the country could think and follow the guidelines that we follow with Real Men Wear Pink, because there's no color in this. There's no race. There's no height. There's no size. This is a group of guys with our fierce leader saying, here's what we're going to do. And it all we times of the hour. I mean, phone goes off at 11:30 because we got a helmet that we got to get fixed and get it signed because we're trying to raise money for so-and-so at 11:30 at night. Kevin's texting me and I'm like, dude, I'm sweating.
We should mention that. if anybody wants a shot at winning a Bengals helmet done up with pink stripes,
yes.
Signed not just by Joe Burrow, but
Jamar Chase.
T. Higgins.
We got a few of them out there.
But the one particular that I know that it's I think it's limited to 300.
Yes, it was 300 tickets.
It's for 50, $50 a ticket, limited to 300.
Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase helmet signed together.
So you have a 1 in 300 chance of winning, and those are pretty good odds.
And where can people find this?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I was going to say, can we give you the QR code?
Yeah, we'll give you the QR code.
You go to Cincinnati.com, you can find it. It should be, well, let's get to the logistics of all this. If you want to donate and support and invest in breast cancer awareness and research, you go just Google up Men Wear Pink Cincinnati, and you will find multiple ways you can pick your favorite ambassador. I hope you pick me, but I know you're going to pick David Fulcher because, you know, why not? Why wouldn't you pick
David
Fulcher?
Here's the thing, though, man.
But it doesn't matter. It all goes to the same place.
It doesn't matter. It goes all back to the... Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter when you start looking at that, because there was a time when we were doing our thing and raising money that somebody had a whole lot of money and somebody didn't have a lot. At the end of the day, you combine those numbers together and Real Men Wear Pink just raised $100,000 or $1 million. And you may have did $900,000. I may have did $100,000, but we know where that money goes.
And I think that's a really important point to make. It's very easy to sit home and be listening to this and think, I don't have $1,000 to spend for a ticket for an event, or I don't have the $50 available to me to buy a chance for this helmet. That's fine. Everybody's in, you know, rowing different boats right now. But your $5 donation, if you're willing to skip a cup of Starbucks coffee, or you're willing to, you know, change something you have planned this weekend, that $5 donated into this campaign, and your $5 with my $5 this week that I gave up my Starbucks, and the next person, those groups of $5 might be what changes and funding a researcher that otherwise doesn't get that funding. It doesn't seem like a lot. It's a lot in that moment that you give up, and we recognize that $5 is a big donation for some people. For anyone who gives us that amount, we can combine that with other dollars, and it will have a much more significant impact than you realize. And those $5 donations and the conversation that you have with someone when you say you donated that has led this Men Wear Pink team to raising more than $2.5 million over 10 years. That's a lot of conversations that were held and a lot of lives that were changed.
And if you don't want to go to the website, you can go to the Holy Grail on October 2nd and with a $10 donation, listen to some good music from Bronson Arroyo. We're going to have Josh Sneed telling a few jokes, maybe.
That's awesome.
And if you buy a beer, buy some wings. I hear that the Holy Grail has really good chicken tenders, too.
Thank you very much.
Best in the city.
Thank you. But to Jeanette's point, you know, we know that everybody doesn't have the high dollar stuff, and the high money fundraisers are fantastic. That day, what we commit to is that every dollar that comes in will be donated back, not just the profit. So come down, buy a soda. Come on in.
And it's such a fun event. I mean, the last 2 years, this will be our third year doing this. And since the very first time.
Last year, folks, if you haven't been, this is your, we save the best for last. What's the other tagline? One more pour for the cure. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, we'll have something. We have something up our sleeves. But for Paint the Grill Pink.
And we're so grateful to you. I mean, to you, to your team. Like you said, they all get engaged in it. To your family, who's been so supportive of it.
It is amazing to be in a position to be able to do something.
Yeah.
And truly you provide amazing, like to David's point, fun space. It's a fun night. This isn't a sad, you know, this is a all come together and lift up the community. And you make that possible by.
No, you guys do. Thank you.
By donating and supporting this work.
No.
There's a split the pot, too.
We're going to have a
great live and silent auction. Bronson, like you said.
Yeah.
I hear Burl might even do one song with Bronson. So
we will see. We shall see.
And to tie into something later on in the That's So Cincinnati moment, we will once again be auctioning off a opening day package of tickets to the game and a guaranteed table at the Holy Grail. With a free drink tab and a food tab for the day.
Oh, that's huge.
That's
a good one.
If you've ever been to the Holy Grail on opening day, you know that it is a sea of humanity. And so to have a dedicated VIP table at the Grail on opening day.
Well, we do it almost like Jeanette did it with the envelope. It comes out of the kitchen. We have that, you know, that moment where the table comes out of the kitchen. We clear everything out. There's a table waiting for somebody. No, it's fun. And then we will also have, I believe, two tickets to Riverbend Music Center next year for your concert of choice.
Mm.
Good stuff.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap up this segment. I want to thank first and foremost Jeanette. Yes.
Always a round of applause.
David Fulcher was right when he said, like, she's a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah. Fearless leader.
Doesn't it speak volumes that a group of men trying to raise money and organize themselves have to have a woman at the helm just to get shit done?
And we were the first and only city for a very long time.
I've met everybody's significant other, and I know mine. My wife runs my world, and I know Dave. And you're too girl, so I don't know what you're talking about.
She tells me where to go.
People don't realize this is not your day job. You do not work for the American Cancer Society. They have a professional staff there. This is, your day job is at TriHealth. And this is a labor of love for you, and it's one of the big reasons that none of us will ever say no, because we want to be part of this magical team that you've created. So, Jeanette, thank you.
Well, and I want to thank TriHealth, if you'll just really quickly, for what they've done in the community to make this possible for 10 years. Their support makes this work possible, and I think it goes back to what Jim said earlier. We all have other jobs. We all have other things that are expected of us, and yet this team is so unique and so special. These 30 men that I have the honor every day of walking beside. And then our friends that we bring in, like Jim. To have the opportunity to bring our friends in to our unique fraternity that we've built. It works. It works for our city. And it's a model that nationally, every year they look and say, what's Cincinnati going to do this year?
Yeah, what is Cincinnati doing?
You know, what's Jim Morin got planned at you know, we can say, you know, an opening day experience that you can't literally buy.
No.
That's how we do it in Cincinnati. That's
and people,
so Cincinnati.
And people have tried for the record. Right.
I bet your door guys have gotten,
I got a big client coming. I got a huge client coming to town. What can we do for opening day? Nothing. No. So, yeah, it's fun.
You know, I think it just makes it, it's so easy to give back. You know, I take my football experience and I'm putting it into my Real Men Wear Pink experience. I don't think I was the best football player, but I'm going to work my tail off to be the best. And the same way with this campaign. You know, at 1 year, I think I was second, pretty close to raising the most money. And I was a little bit upset because I wasn't first. But not because the other guy was better than me. Yeah. I was just competitive and I wanted to be the best. And every time we do a live auction, my mouth is wide open. People come and I'm like, listen, you didn't come here to sit and watch. Spend some money. We are raising money. We have got to fight this fight.
You know, that reminds me when you talk about auctions. We were talking about Paint the Grail Pink being a kind of a low cost of entry way to gather around and do this. There's one that's a little more, a little bit more of a financial commitment. And that's the cigar dinner October 29th at the Montgomery and Boathouse. Dean Gregory, the proprietor there, is very generous and allows, he does these cigar dinners, and each cigar dinner has a beneficiary. And October 29th, the beneficiary will be Men Wear Pink. Dean is also an ambassador. And so mark your calendars if you have a little bit of money to spend and you want to do a classic cigar dinner, complete with live auction, with the auctioneer being none other than David Fulcher. You're a man of many talents.
People
who try to pigeonhole ex-NFL players have not seen you. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But
it's her fault.
We're kind of kicking off the month of October with Paint the Grail Pink, and then the last big event will be the cigar dinner on October 29th. All right. Let's wrap this segment up and go into my favorite segment next. All right. So now I want to do two things. We have to live up to the name of this podcast. We have to share something that happened in one of our lives that's so Cincinnati. That's the only way to describe it. These moments pop up all the time. But first off, before we started recording, David, you were telling me that you have a podcast that's basically built around catching up with people who were in the spotlight that no longer are, and how life has changed. So first off, I want to switch the roles here. I'm going to ask you, now that you're not in the spotlight every Sunday, for those who don't know, what has David Fulcher been up to these days?
Oh, wow. So for the past 31 years, I've been in Hamilton County Jail now the last 10 years in Butler County Jail trying to make a difference. My dad was a police officer in Los Angeles for 20 something years, retired when I was very young. And then I just lost my dad April 1st, the founder of just being the solid rock. My goal was to want to be a police officer. And my wife says, no. I said, well, how can I help in law enforcement? Well, I don't know if I'm helping in law enforcement, but I'm helping with trying to keep people away from jail. So I started the MANA program, Mentoring Against Negative Actions, M-A-N-A, where I go in and I just talk common sense. The stuff I grew up on at 60, no meant no. Don't go in the store if you don't have any money. Come in the house when the street lights come on. That's the common sense stuff. We don't have that in this world
today.
Why
do we shy away from that? Why have we gotten so...
Because I think that we're young moms are having babies at a young age. A 15-year-old has a kid. By the time she turns 25 or 30, she's talking to her little brother, not her son.
Yeah.
And I just feel like my parents, you know, my mom is still alive. She's 85. I'm 60. So my mom had me at 25. She's a little bit more mature at 25 than she was at 15. And I just feel like the country, the world has gotten away from the common sense stuff. So I said, I'm going to put together a program that talks about common sense questions. You know, new beginnings. When a person goes to jail, they're going to be getting out. New start. Family. Businesses, job, banking. You know, you ask a 15-year-old today about banking, they're probably going to get you, what does that mean? My money's in the underneath the bed, or my money's in the backyard. No, put it in the bank. So when you get away from that, we have these issues that we have. And I feel like I'm going to be that Pied Piper, the one who blows and people follow me. Because if I lead by example and people that know me see what I do, then maybe they can follow that. So when I go into the jail, I talk to them as if I'm talking to my own son. I'm not sugarcoating anything. If you're tired of being tired, quit doing what you're doing. And we have touched over, definitely well over 50,000 people since 2002. And it's probably more than that. And there are guys who get out, they come back, they go back to jail. I say, why? Why would you come back to my class when you know you heard it in 2003? And a lot of them said, I just slipped. But there's no reason to slip. Go to work, come home. Go to work, come home. You know, and some people think that's boring. But it's not boring when you don't go to jail every yeah. week. So, you know, take it, do what you have to do. And that's what Dave is doing.
As we sit here recording, when we're done, you're headed to?
I'm headed to the jail right now to talk to him. As soon as I leave here, I'm going right to Hamilton County. I got about an hour. And, you know, and what's really nice is, The sheriffs, I've been through three sheriffs, Neil, Lease, and now McGuffey. So I've seen them all. And whether they're, you know, black, white, green, doesn't matter, but they all have a purpose. And their purpose is to keep America, keep this country clean, keep Ohio clean. Well, I'm the street sweeper. When I talk to those guys in there, I say, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, man. If you're tired of being tired, quit doing what you do. If you went to jail for stealing, don't go to jail and steal in jail. You just got arrested for that.
Do some of these young people know who they're talking to? It's been a while since you've been playing.
It's the younger crowd.
You know, I wonder if you...
They don't know.
Do you show like a highlight reel? Highlight reel?
It's the older guys that are in there.
Most of those tackles today would probably be illegal tackles.
Yeah, I think I would probably...
The game has changed a lot.
Not getting a paycheck after every game. They'd be fine. Because I'm finding guys are doing that now.
David Fulcher highlight reel is really like the plays you're not allowed to do today.
Yes, you can't do those. But some of the older guys that are in there have been around for a while. They remember. And the young guys are going, who is he? Who is he? And they want to know. But I'm not the football player. That's what I try to tell them when I go in there. David Fulcher's football career ended back in 1995. But David Fulcher now, the football gave me an opportunity to step on the platform with Real Men Wear Pink. And this too. When I go in there, they look at me, oh, man, big dude playing football. And there's some guys going, man, I mean, when you knock people out. I said, that was yesterday. Today we're talking about you changing. And what it takes for you to get back out to your family, because your wife is at home taking care of the family. She's being you and her, and you got to change. And then a lot of them will change, or they think about it, but I have to, it's like practice. The more you do it, the better you're going to be. So you can't take a day off coming out of jail. It's got to be hustle the right way so you can stay out of jail.
I'm inspired. Well, that's amazing.
And thank you.
Yes.
You know, I it's not a job. Real Men Wear Pink is not a job. It's something I love to do, you know, and I had no affiliation with this campaign. No family members with breast cancer. I probably had some friends but didn't know it. But then once I got involved and I started realizing what this was about and why we do what we do, we're all connected. All of us are connected. Somehow, some way, we're connected. And this is why I like them. This is the, I've had many coaches in my lifetime. Best coach I've ever had sitting right here.
That's great.
You know, she doesn't yell and scream, but you can see when the frustration in her face about something ain't going right, her color kind of changes a little bit. But you don't want to, as a player, I never wanted to get under Sam Weiss, Dick LeBeau's skin. I did my job. Well, when she says, this is what we got to do, I do my job because I do not want to get under her skin.
All right. You know, I have a small That's So Cincinnati moment involving you. I had asked you one time because you look like you could throw some pads on and play today. And I asked David Fulcher, I said, like, you still working out? What are you doing? You look good. Because we're roughly the same age. And, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Boy, is it.
Yeah. And you told me, I'll never forget this, I have not been in the gym since I stopped playing.
I have not.
Because that's what I had to do before. And I'm just done with that part of my life. That's,
you know, it gets to a point where you just, you know, from the age of 7 or 8, I've been doing that for a very long time. I stopped doing working out about 31, 32. I'm 60 now.
So here's the funny That's So Cincinnati story. I was at an event we had where Anthony Munoz and Dave Lapham spoke, and they were talking about working out. And you look at Munoz, he looks like he could play. Dave, not so much, but Munoz looks, you know. And I shared that story that you shared with me. I said, you know, I asked David Fulcher if he's still working out. And he said, no, he hasn't worked out since he played. And your buddy Anthony Munoz said, you know what? He wasn't even in the gym that much.
I wasn't. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. I have.
That's fantastic.
That is the truest story of ever. Because when
a
I go
naturally gifted athlete,
when right? I go to school, when I go speak at kids at schools, high schools, and coach wants me to talk to them about working out, I have to change my thought when I'm talking. Because the first time I did that, I said, "Man, I don't work out. I never worked out." And I could see the coach in the back going, "No, that's not what we want." I say, "Well, you know, okay, so go in there and lift some weights, blah blah blah." And do what you got to do because you got to stay fit. But then Jim Anderson, running back coach for the Bengals, longtime Jim Anderson, said to me when I retired, probably about 10 years later, he said, Rock, if you would have just did a little bit, you probably could have played 12 to 15 years. I wound up playing 8. And when I look back at that, I'm going, probably, but I was so gifted. I was naturally strong. I could take on a 300-pound man and knock him on his butt. But when you ask me to pick up 225 pounds, I might do that 8 times because it's so heavy. But punching or not punching, let me back that up.
Again, it was a different era of the game.
Yeah, a little different era. And hitting guys.
You could throw those forearms.
I was natural. Yeah, I was naturally doing that. And I said to myself, I'm fortunate that I'm not, you know, 350 pounds. I didn't gain a lot of weight. I'm a type 2 diabetic, so that helps me with keeping my weight right. But all the other stuff, man, I was just a naturally born athlete to do natural things.
That's a good story. So you got something, Mr. Moore.
Not after the naturally born athlete, because I am not. I have the dexterity of a hatchet man. This one, everybody in Cincinnati knows we're basically 3 degrees of separation, right?
Maybe 1 degree in Cincinnati.
And that's where...
If you're Jeanette, it's like negative degrees.
I was going to say, there's not a person she doesn't know. So last year when we had Paint the Grail Pink, one of the auction items, as we said, was the opening day package. And back up when the Holy Grail started, there was 3 of us, Don Andres, Tom Hiker, myself. Tom Hiker, we unfortunately lost to prostate cancer 8 years ago now. So we were having Paint the Grail pink, and we did the auction item for the opening day, and the bid was going up and going up and going up. And this very unassuming guy at the bar just kept on raising his hand and upping the bid and upping the bid. And I thought, who is this guy? So he winds up winning. Everybody's kind of walking around talking and doing a thing. I got to go introduce myself to this guy. So I walked over and I just said, hey, I'm Jim Mooring. Thank you so much for being here, and really appreciate opening day. I'll give you my cell phone number for, you know, anything you need moving forward. And he looked at me and he said, I did that for Tom. And I said, Tom. And he said, Hiker. And I said, Tom Hiker, my business partner. He said, yeah, Jim, I was his doctor, his original doctor here in Cincinnati. And then since then,
I just got chills, and I already knew that story.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. I had heard his name, but we had never met. Tom had a 7-year battle, and Dr. Flora, as we all have come to know and love, you know, he's been down the Grail a couple times, had a great time on opening day, but then Jeanette tuned me into what a genius he is and how hard he works in cancer research. So I think that was my kind of kick in the face, that so Cincinnati moment around the Real Men Wear Pink campaign.
Back to what Mr. Fullrock here said, we're all connected. Yeah, we just don't even know it.
And Doug's another, Dr. Flora is another example. You know, he has so many patients in a practice that he is committed to, and yet he finds a way to support American Cancer Society. He's a fellow colleague on leading that board alongside me and several other amazing Cincinnati leaders who spend that little bit of window of time they have that they're not in their offices or not, in Doug's case, saving lives, to try to do just a little bit more. What else can I fit into this day? And he did it, you know, through his office, then he did it through leading at ACS, and then was there with you that evening. And
it was amazing. I literally have never been more flabbergasted in my life. It was unbelievable.
Well, that was a fitting way to end the podcast.
Yeah, it's like good stuff.
Yeah. Should we wrap it up? You ready?
Co-host. Sure.
All right. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of the Enquirer and Cincinnati.com.
If you enjoyed this fantastic podcast, thank you, Mr. Fulcher, for being here, David. Please give us a rating. Share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
And finally, if you value local journalism, and I know you do, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now's a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com. Click on the subscribe button to see a special offer just for you.
Thanks again. I'll be listening next week. We'll see what Burl has in store.
Thanks, y'all.
Good stuff.
Thanks to you all.
Thank you.